The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I'm excited. You guys excited?
I'm always excited. Look at my pants. Yeah. Excitement.
I think they call that tinting.
That doesn't look like that much excitement,
bro,
to be honest.
Bro, I'm excited. Hey. I wish you didn't say that now, because now what I'm about to say sounds like I'm joking, but I'm not. I'm excited because I'm about to spill the beans a little bit, but MAPS, the next MAPS program will be coming out soon.
Ooh. I thought you were about to say
it. We haven't even brought that up yet.
I'm not going to say the name.
You almost said it, and Doug almost threw that cup of water at you.
I know. No, it's the color for this one is white, but we're not telling you what it's about, but it's pretty gangster.
Yeah,
it's the next.
It's not just for
Snow
white.
White.
No, yeah. It's not for white. It's not just for white people. Anybody can do it. But it's the next. The next program we're putting out, and it's almost done. I'm pumped.
Yeah, I know
about it.
I'm excited. I'm excited for it too, because it's going to hit. I think people that are currently going through all the MAPS. If you definitely have all the MAPS already, you'll probably want it, because I think it's something that will fill in the gaps of what you're already doing for specific times. And then I feel like it's going to get a whole new demographic of people, too.
It is, because we're looking at, this is what we always do. We look at problems in the industry. Mm-hmm. We've identified the problems. Now we're providing the answer. And this is the answer to another problem. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, can I say more?
Yeah.
Is it okay?
That's all I'm going to say. You can say
more. No, but I feel
like he barely tickled
I feel
the
like
balls.
There's some concepts in there that I was just like super stoked on the more I think about it, you know, afterwards. Like, it's really resonating with me. I'm like, wow, that was really cool what we did, you know, with that concept. And
I
feel like we always have like something like that that's so different and revolutionary on its own that it's understated.
We took a programming problem. And we came out with something.
We basically put it on steroids.
It's pretty fucking brilliant the way it's put together.
I'm pretty brilliant, actually. The more I think about it, yeah, I'm pretty brilliant.
No.
It's okay.
Legit. This is why I know when we get together, we come up with crazy things. Because when I look at it, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Everything is taken into account with this minimalist type program. That's as far as I'm going to go. With revealing the program
you
itself,
went too far,
I might have gone too far. Yeah.
That's okay.
I think you could say that.
Say
I think you could have said further than what Justin was saying too, because I know he wanted to use the word isolation. And I think that I think that's a cool component that you don't see a lot anymore.
No.
And I think it's overlooked and one of those underrated things too, for sure. So
hey, have you guys been getting tagged on Instagram? You have. I've seen you guys also. We're getting tagged on people love to tag us on exercises that people will video. Expecting us to talk shit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You guys notice that?
Yeah, of course.
So usually it's tagged on exercises that people make up in a machine, which is stupid almost every single time. But sometimes it's an exercise. Like, one I got tagged on was a bench press variation where someone brings the bar down. Did you guys see this one? They're doing a bench press. They bring the bar down to the proper position, which usually is right about nipple height, right, with the bar, unless you're an old lady and then you don't want to go nipple height. Because then it becomes something different.
It's really
But you come down to nipple
really
height. But
low.
What the guy did is he came down to that, and then keeping tension, he came up, brought the bar up to his neck with the elbows flared, and then pressed it up and came down again, brought it up. And so the question was, is this bad? This has got to be horrible for the shoulder. Here's the thing with movement. Exercises, exercises can be safer or more dangerous. There could be that line.
Was that the one we got DM'd our inbox?
Yes.
I didn't watch it. I just saw the one from Sadiq. Sadiq was the one training it.
Here's the thing, like, if you can, your body, if it's fit and healthy, and depending on the situation, you can do a lot of different movements and be safe, or you could do other movements that are dangerous. Some exercises are more difficult to do in a safe way. That's one of them. Does it mean it's always dangerous? No. If you have good shoulder stability, you're using light weight, and you feel like you've got some benefit from doing that type of an exercise, then you're probably okay. The benefit I could see from
you're going to get some traps involved there and some more shoulder. Like, what would be the point of taking it down to your chest? Then you're getting.
You're going from
I didn't watch it, so what does it look like? What's moving? What is he doing?
I'm trying to picture this.
No, I'm on my back, boom, here. Yeah. Then I come up with the weight and then press it up.
So traps. Yeah. Like you're gonna get some traps.
I think it's probably more than anything, I think what they're trying to do is change the angle of the elbow, right? To change the different muscle fiber recruitment of the chest. Mm. But really what's happening is you're maintaining tension at the bottom of the rep for like 2 or 3 seconds. Mm. So it's really not that different from just a pause bench.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? When you look at it,
yeah.
So I could see it maybe helping you get stronger.
It seems
at the
unnecessary. That would be my only inclusion.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like I get tagged on a lot of them as well, as far as like exercises are concerned, and some of them are legit, like the earthquake bar, for instance. And
someone thought that was really stupid. I saw that was really stupid.
I'm like,
no, it's an actual
dude.
Tool.
He's expressing speed. You know, like he's showing you how to like, you know, add velocity to this lift, and that's a tool that you would use.
Probably the goofiest tool.
It's very goofy.
If you want to look
for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've never used one. Have you ever used one?
Yeah, I've used it.
I've used it with Justin before.
But I mean, there's rationale behind it. Is all I'm saying. It's not for everybody. It's very specialized. But yeah. I mean, there's definitely something there.
Well, I think it's important to note, too, that we tell people, like, a lot of these exercises, oh, this is so stupid, when you see somebody doing, like, a tricep pushdown on, like, a, you know, on the Gravitron machine, or what's it called?
Assisted pull-up machine.
Yeah, and they're doing, like, some chest exercise, which is just ridiculous. But here's why.
The reality is it's doing something.
Well, and here's why I won't go on their page and, like, you know, talk shit, because... most of the guys that are doing that, you know, and it's unfortunate, but they're normally some dude that's extremely ripped. It's some bodybuilder, men's physique athlete, or bikini girl or that. And it's like, hey, if they want to do all these weird movements because they've got extra time in the gym to kill and everything like that, then by all means, do it. I get annoyed by them trying to tell people, you know, why they should do it.
Check out this new kick-ass tricep.
Try this out. Like, well,
so
no.
Pumped.
Why don't you try actually lifting consistently and eating consistently first, and then you can move your way into some different stuff like that. Like, it's just the priority of it. And somebody did it again with me, like, you know, and it irritated me because they're a big Mind Pump listener and a fan, so like that, and they should know better than to do this. And they were trying to prod Joe with me, and they were trying to get him and I get going after each other because he had just recently posted the rubber band on the hammer strength.
Before we got blocked?
It was before. This is why it happened.
Oh, because, that's why we got blocked.
You know, because he was
maybe
he was getting on there and he was continuing to try and get me and Joe to talk shit to each other, because on the show I said, you know, putting rubber bands on a machine is ridiculous.
You might as well use a solo flex.
Yeah, a bow flex, right? And that's exactly what he said. He says, you know, he got on there and says,
the first model,
Adam, hey, Adam, what do you think about this? You know, and tell him that this exercise you call bow flex or what, if something like that, right? And Joe got on there, and of course it fired Joe up, but it wasn't going to fire me up over that. Like, listen, if you've ever seen fucking Joe Donnelly, he's 250 pounds and like fucking 4% body fat. Motherfucker can do whatever he wants in the gym. Do whatever the fuck you want in the gym. Like, you could do the stupidest exercise ever, and it's not going to hurt that guy. I don't like the fact when these guys give that message out to 90% of the population, because 99% of the population is not like that. And it's not going to do much benefit. In fact, they should be hearing messages like, hey, work on your squat. Let's perform your squat. If you can't squat, let's talk about the things that are keeping you from squatting and what do you need to do to fix that so you can squat. Like, these are the messages I feel like trainers should be giving to the general population about health and fitness.
Yeah, go bench press.
Yeah.
Like, don't put the bands on the hamstring chest press.
Not the latest fucking tricky move or exercise that they should be doing, you know, or creative thing that they made up on the leg press.
Oh my god, the worst is like the buddy body weight training stuff, like that you do with your spouse.
Yeah.
I was actually gonna create a fake account with me and my wife, because I kind of started to have her go through Maps Red with me and stuff, and it was funny because like she's the only girl in the weight room part, you know, that at our gym. And so we're in there at like prime time hour. It's like all these like meatheads and everything, and we're doing our workout and everything. and we're like, oh my god, how annoying are we? You know, we're that like fit couple, you know, like relationship goals, hashtag, you know what I'm saying? Like,
walking on the treadmill, like, holding hands.
Yeah.
I
swear to God, I wanted to do like everything stereotypical just to like, you know, piss everybody off. Like, and we do like the pull-ups where the other one's like wrapping their legs around you and you're like kissing at the top, like, yeah, it's, here we go.
Bro,
it's,
what you do is you get a girl.
God, that's annoying.
And then when you're working out and you're lifting your wife and she's gaining weight, it's progressive resistance. So it's all good. You know what I mean? Why are your biceps getting
well,
huge.
I'm getting bigger.
Why your arms look so big? Oh, yeah. My wife's getting fat. Yeah.
Isn't there an old fable or story of that? The guy who climbs up the hill carrying the calf, you know, and every...
Milos? Is it Milo? Milos or whatever. Yeah, he lifted a calf every day until it became a bull and he became a massive dude.
It grew with it, carrying it up. You know, it's funny though. These are all marketing ploys that people use to draw attention to him. I bet you... if not all of those people, a good majority of those people that do those posts don't even work out like that, or you know, they just know that they know, like, honey, let's you know, we got the kid, take some videos, let's do this.
Working out with your significant other is a very horny event. Mm. It is, isn't it? Wouldn't you agree, Justin?
It could be.
It always
can be.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, Yeah, but you're weird when it comes to that stuff. The wind blows, dude, and it's like.
I'm weird.
And it tickles it. Yeah,
yeah, man, you're easy when it comes to stuff like that. Yeah. It doesn't take much to impress you that way. Well, most trainers that I know, they don't like working out with their significant other because they struggle. Well, shit, we just got in a battle with Johnny and his girl, right? Because we help her out all the time, and she's always trying to tell her because she listens to Mind Pump, right? So she's always fighting with him about the bro shit that he's telling her, and he's texting me on the back end on the other side going like, bro, I can't fucking take this anymore. Tell my girl. Your fucking girl, bro. You tell her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't help it. She listens to Mind Pump, so she hears us talk all this shit, and then you turn around and you give her something. Well, that's what happens, you know? So, but I mean, I feel for that.
Because Mind Pump, the show your girlfriend listens to.
My girl, Katrina, is the only woman that I've ever been able to consistently work out with. Every other girlfriend that I ever dated before that, I couldn't do that. And one of the reasons why is because what I love about my girls,
she just does what you tell her in the gym?
No, not at all, actually.
Oh, okay.
But she understands how important it is to me and that it's my time and that I'm totally okay with you coming in and working out with me. But for me, like, I don't want to be a personal trainer. I don't come to the gym for my hour of training to personal train anybody. So I don't want to be over there correcting form and telling you why we're doing this and why we're now doing that. Like, then I feel like it's work. You know what I'm saying? That's what I do for work all day long. So you need to do that. You need to hire a trainer if you want that.
Yeah. I would be that way if I had like all this free time and like, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, this is where we can
drop. Like when you were 17 or something?
Yeah, exactly. that's now turned into, it has a different meaning because now it's about like the kids club. You know what I'm saying? it's the kids club. And I'm like, hey, honey. Hey, how have you been? You know what I'm saying? And then
it's
we're
your
working
time
out
together. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. But I get you on that level.
I can see though on your side.
But it's changed. The meaning's changed now.
No, Justin gets it. It's horny time for him too.
It is horny. Yeah. It leads to, you know, fun.
I was going
to
say there's
extracurricular activities.
Did you ever have this
stability ball?
Honey, the kids are asleep in the back.
Do we still have one of those?
Hurry, give me a hand job.
Yeah.
You guys are like the couple that used to drop their kids off at the gym kids club and then go out on a movie date. Like that.
I thought about it.
Bro, people used to do that. I was like, excuse me.
Dude, they figured that out. They actually put a charge for that, like a cheap charge. Like, yeah, watch your kid. You guys go ahead. There's like a movie theater.
Oh, they even let them.
They actually advertised it.
No way.
So you actually would pay, you'd pay them like some dirt cheap price, but like they would do that for a couple hours. I'm like, brilliant.
That is brilliant.
So brilliant.
And they used to be, wow, that's funny. They let them do that. That was something that was like a huge pet peeve for like all the kids club people. They were just like,
yeah.
The lady just came in. She was fully decked out in a dress and she just dropped her kids off. She's totally going out. She is not coming to the gym to work out. Like, oh, that's awesome. That's smart, right?
Oh my God.
Shh.
Oh shit.
Yeah. It's the motherfucking koala.
It's after me.
Quick. Feathers here. All right. Beginning with KT Cards. How much does diet and stress affect physical performance? Does it affect strength or endurance more?
It affects, yes, it definitely affects physical performance.
God, is there science behind which one would affect more or less? I would think that it depends on the person.
It does. I think probably stamina and endurance get affected kind of immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I think stress can improve strength depending on the type of strength.
Oh, that's a good point, right?
Like if you get really, like
if you snort that salt stuff right before that,
like
temporary stress that's put on.
Like if Doug got trapped under a car, you know, we'd be all stressed out.
It's like an adrenaline kind of response.
Yeah, so we might do that, or if you're angry or whatever. But
you just use Doug getting trapped in the car, like the whole analogy of the woman who has the baby under the car and then she lifts it. You did. You totally did.
No, you know why?
That's totally why you referenced that.
No, you know
that.
Why I did that? Because, okay, you know when we went to the San Jose Expo?
You lifted a car?
And no. And we were talking about, like, oh, bro, what if somebody, like, comes up? Like, because every supplement company hate us. We talk shit about, you know, 80% of the fitness industry. We're like, what if somebody comes and talks shit? And I'm like, well, if somebody says something to Adam, I'll just watch Adam kick their ass. And then we're like, what if someone fuck with Doug? All three of us would destroy.
We're,
yeah,
we're gonna rip.
Nobody
rip
can touch
limbs
Doug.
Off.
Yeah. Way to go! You're gonna get me in a fight. Now everyone's like, "Oh, that's good to know." If I ever run into guys like that,
we're gonna go Doug
first.
Incidentally, I'm just gonna warn you right now.
No, you don't want it.
When we joke around about Doug having a shiv, he really does have a shiv on him, and he will stab the fuck out of you. The last word.
This is
so. Here's the deal with stress.
Allegedly,
stress. There's acute stress and there's long term stress. Both affect performance in all ways. But what most of us experience is this kind of moderate level of constant stress on a day-to-day basis.
Just sounds wearing when you say it.
It is wearing. Yeah. It's very wearing. It's that, you know, I hate my job or I hate my wife or whatever. And you're dealing with this on a regular basis.
Most people are like, fuck both.
I hate both of those things.
Double stress.
It will reduce strength and endurance, especially if you're training improperly. You know, if you're under a lot of stress, the last thing you should do is hammer yourself in the gym and place more demands on the body, because your body's ability to handle all stress is becoming limited. Mm-hmm. You know, its capability to deal with stress depends very, very greatly on the other kinds of stress it's experiencing, and that includes exercise. So if you're working out super hard and your job is really stressing you out and your kids are really stressing you out or whatever, mm-hmm. You're just piling stress upon stress on top of you, and your body will perform worse. You won't burn body fat like you want. You won't build muscle like you want, and you'll actually reduce your performance. So under those circumstances, a good idea is to reduce intensity, you know, learn how to make your workout more meditative, and use it in those ways to kind of, you know, complement what's going on.
I was
going to
mention that because, like, I mean, it's mostly psychological. I mean, there's physical stress for sure, but, like, if you treat your workout more of a like therapeutic type of a session, and you're addressing things, you know, that will help calm you down, calm your heart rate down, or just give you mental clarity. You know, that's a totally different experience than just, you know, pounding weights and getting pissed off and, like, you know, adding more physical stress.
Yeah, I mean, mental state plays such a huge role. I had a client come in the other day, was working out. Actually, it wasn't my client. He was working out with another trainer. And he's been in the gym for a while. I haven't seen him for a while. But so now that I haven't seen him for about a year, he looks incredible. He's built more muscle, looks more fit. So about halfway through the workout, I always like to compliment people when I've seen positive changes. I think it's important as trainers. So I stopped him.
Nice ass.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Like, bro, your ass looks amazing.
Apple shape.
You mean that in a total professional way?
Yeah. Yeah. He was resting in between sets. I'm like, bro, I'm like, you look fucking way different. You put on a lot more muscle. And, you know, I'm telling him the truth. I'm giving him a compliment, though. And I noticed the intensity of his workout increased by two notches after I said that, because it gave him that mental, like, oh, yeah. Oh fuck, I'm pressing the trainer and another trainer in the gym. And mm-hmm. Yeah, your mental and, you know, even spiritual health will affect athletic performance on a tremendous level. And so those things make up a part of your overall wellness just as much as exercise and diet do.
Well, I want to add a little something to that, just because I think, and I you guys, I'm sure, are the same way too. The client that we deal the most with this, right? Because that was really a vague answer that we gave you, right? It kind of could affect you. It is a little this way. Here's some things to be aware of. But it's like, I know that was really vague. I think a majority of the people that I've ever trained that I deal with this the most are my type A personalities, mm-hmm. Where it really affects them, right? And what I mean by that is they have this lifestyle where they probably do. They hate their husband or wife. They have a stressful job, and they're just a stress. There's just a stress case all the time. They're stressed about everything: finances and family life and work life. And then on top of that, they sign themselves up for a gym membership or a type of trainer that is just going to pound their body. Mm-hmm. They still take that same approach and mentality into their workout of this hardcore aggressive training. And in reality, that person with that extreme probably needs the complete opposite extreme. Most of those people that
you do a lot better with walking.
Yeah, those people that hire me, I end up saying, okay, listen, you're not allowed to run now. And they're like, freak out. Like, I can't run. No, I don't want you running. You don't need to be running right now. What you need to do is walk, or you need to meditate, or you need to do yoga. You need to do something opposite of all this crazy stress that I'm hearing in your life. I don't want your working out should be aiding and helping, not adding to, right?
But the point is it's still movement. It's still like,
right.
You have to make sure that your body's expending energy, because even if it's like in contrast to the stress, you still have to go through that, and it actually helps a lot of times, I find too, because I'm very much could fall into that same trap too, where I have to realize, oh my God, I'm so buried in all these things, and I'm starting to feel like I'm getting a cold because I just had a really hard workout on top of that and all these kinds of things. My workout needs to change so that way, I can allow my mind to stop, going crazy, and also my body can kind of rest and rejuvenate, but I'm still moving, I'm active. And
this happens to me at least a handful of times every month. I have in mind what I'm going to be doing that day. I'm on phase whatever of whatever maps I'm going on right now. This is what I'm supposed to be lifting the next day. But then, the day before was just heavy, man. I worked a long day. I had a lot of stuff. I was dealing with a lot of people online and, this or that. And it was just maybe family shit going on. And it was just heavy for me. And I can feel that the next day. And even though I have this planned workout ahead of me, that takes a priority. Because I feel this way and I have learned to recognize when I've got heavy stress on myself, I know better than to go into a workout and just think I'm going to sweat it out or beat myself out of it. Instead, that's the day where, I was going to do this. Now I'm going to walk on the treadmill, and now I'm going to work on some mobility stuff. And mm-hmm. I'm still going to do something that's active and physical and burn calories and focus more. But I'm going to focus more on my knee and my mental relief that I want.
Makes a big difference.
Yeah, I'll even have a different playlist for that. I'm going to really listen to different music that's more relaxing. Normally I'm into intense, hardcore rock, like when I want to get after it. Time like that, I want to do
the same thing.
Yeah, I want to be more peaceful.
Yeah, more meditative. Yeah. It's going to be more relaxing. So
play a little Sarah McLachlan.
I was thinking Everlast or something like that, or Sublime. Maybe.
When that bitch comes on TV, you're about to fucking cry because there's some dogs that are starving some or
puppies
something.
Or
like, you dumb. Yeah.
Like getting their ears chewed off.
Oh my God.
Laws of Fitness is asking, how do you know if you have two reps left in the tank?
You do two more and then you fail. Two reps left in the tank means. We always talk about not going to failure with your workout. So if you're doing a set to failure, what that means is, let's say I'm doing squats, I'm squatting until I can no longer squat again with decent form. So I'm failing, and then boom, the set is over. We advocate stopping before that. Going to failure, and lots of studies now have proven this, going to failure is too much intensity. It's more than you need, and all it's going to do is actually it's going to take away from your body's ability to adapt. You'll find that stopping two reps short of that is going to give you better results almost every single time. How do you know? I hate to say this, but you're going to have to learn your body.
Trial and error.
You're going to have to learn your body. This is part of the whole feel your body.
I have a little tip that I think that helped me.
I have a big tip.
I have a little tip. It's cute.
You guys are everywhere today.
Yeah.
This is something that this is how I approach like a set. Let's say I'm doing a set of 10 dumbbell chest press. I am a super strickler when it comes to form. So when I get under there and I start pressing away at 10, saving two in the tank for me is when I find a weight that when I hit that 10th rep, my form is starting to break down. And when I mean break down, I mean by the slightest bit. I'm slowly starting to favor one side, or I slowly start to feel my shoulders come out of the perfectly retracted position, or I notice my body start to squirm a little bit to try and leverage it up. If I notice that at all start to happen, that's where I'm shutting it down. Because I could normally push out two more or three more even from that point, you know, by cheating the rep up or by getting momentum or letting my body deviate just to get it up. So I'm cutting that weight on the last rep of perfect form. I mean, I'm completing 10 reps that looks perfect. I mean,
again, even to do that, you got to kind of really stay in tune with your body and kind of learn it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just something that you'll.
When it's not, it's not a mathematical formula that I think a lot of people are asking for. Like, no. Oh, because I know that, yes, a lot of people do the one rep. Yes, the one rep max percentage.
No,
you get charts 10. And all these things. Everybody's always had an answer for that, and like I don't, like Sal's saying, it really amounts to the amount of times you've done this, right? Like you see tendencies, you see how the body's going to change and react once you add like 5 more pounds, 10 more. More pounds, you right. know, 25 more pounds, and then you get even better. Like you're like, whoa, I know that, you know, I do pretty well with this weight, but even then that's going to change because, like, depending on the energy levels or the factors of stress or
that's,
all that,
that's exactly
week,
it,
you know, that's all going
to
change.
That's so. Exactly it. That's why we tell people it's about it's your how to know your body and perceived exertion, because 2 reps short of failure may mean something completely different when I've had good sleep and I'm in a good mood versus when I haven't had good sleep and my diet isn't good. So if I go based off for percentages, well, that hard number, that 75% of whatever, and I need to do 12 reps, that 12 reps could be past failure because I didn't get good sleep last night. You know what I'm saying? So it's got to be based off of feel. So you're going to have to kind of learn your body a little bit.
Yeah. Mike DiTore, or Mike Ditor, I'm not sure.
I think you said the first time was sexier.
Yeah.
So that's enough.
Thank you, Justin.
Sorry.
Mike is asking, how do I find the proper weight in MAPS Black without overdoing volume? And he's referring specifically to his warm-up.
His warm-up sets.
It's a nice transition from the last question we just did.
Yeah. I think for me personally, I do a little dynamic warm-up first. So here's how it looks for me. Let's say I'm going to squat with 315. Let's say I'm doing sets of 6 or 8 reps with 315. I'll do my dynamic warm-up, which is, you know, where I'm warming up my hips, I'm warming up my knees. Then I get under the bar and I go 135, 225, and then by that time I'm usually ready for 315. So for me personally, it's between 1 or 2 sets with good weight before I move into my heavier weight. Mm-hmm. The stronger I am in the exercise, the more warm-ups I do. So if I'm doing a deadlift where, let's say, I'm pulling 500 pounds or 550 pounds, I'll go 135, 225, 315, 405. Then I'll go up to 495 or 500.
Yeah.
So I'd say the stronger you are, the more...
So the more sets. Load that... Yeah, like the higher you go in number as far as the load you're putting on your body, I would think, yeah.
I'm not trying to jump drastically.
No, you're not trying to make massive leaps. Yeah.
Right. I think this, what he's trying to ask is more along the lines of, he also, like the person before, is trying to find their weight that they should be at for working sets. So for example, let's say he's doing also a bench press, you know, and he gets ready to do his bench press, and he's working on the first phase, so he's in like the 5 to 8 rep range, right? And he knows he's only going to end up doing 3 sets of that. So he says he's having a hard time. It's taking him 1 or 2 sets to find what weight he should be working at those 3 sets. So he was asking for tips on how to get there. So here's what I do. Like, if I know I have 3 working sets ahead of me, and this wouldn't happen to me where I don't know my weight because I'm very in tune with my body and how much I can lift of everything. But let's say I didn't. How I teach a client this is, remember that you can control intensity. Intensity does not always have to change by the weight. So what I will do I will start with a weight that I'm for sure I can do, but it might be close to the weight I want to work with. But more than likely, I'm going to round down and it's going to be less because I'd always be on the safer side in case I don't feel energy or strength that day. So I teach a client to go under that weight. And then let's say it's a 10 rep, or we're talking about 5 to 8. Sorry, it's 5 to 8 reps. So you're going to start going towards those 5 reps, and you realize at rep 3, oh, this is way too light and easy for me. So slow the last 2-3 reps down, hella slow.
Yeah, make it harder on that. That's great advice.
Make it way. This is how I use tempo.
Yeah, I do pause squats. That same thing.
There you go.
Yeah, and I want to feel like my whole process is a lot like that, but it's more getting connected in the feel of it, right? So as I'm going down through the rep, I'm feeling my body kind of drop down into the right, correct position. Now I'm squeezing, and I'm also getting like super connected with my CNS that way. And I'm just actively trying to create tension coming up. And so, yeah, I'm not doing a whole lot of weight, because that's the other thing too. You don't want to, I guess too, like I can see, I've gotten this question before too, because like people don't want to really expend a whole lot of energy in the warm-up process to get into the workout, because they know what's in store for them with the workout, right? So they don't want to feel like it's going to detract from their performance during the workout. So there is like a fine line with that you kind of find. And I find best for me, like kind of like Sal was saying, like as far as like the most demanding lifts, it'll take me a bit longer to get there. But, you know, I'm trying as hard as I can not to add a whole lot of weight. I just want to add more connectivity, you know, with my body.
I think it's a very fair question, and it is a very popular question. And I think this is where, you know, we talk about all the different tools there are in fitness, right? Of manipulating tempos and things like that. And this is how I like to manipulate tempo. And this is how I utilize it. And I still do this all the time where I grab a weight that I know is lighter than what I'm probably going to be, what we consider a working set. So a working set is what you would consider, you know, you're at that weight of whatever, you know, 80% of, you know, max intensity, whatever the formula is for the rep range you're at, which once again, we talk about how, you know, it's about your perception and how you understand how to feel your body out more so than it is an actual percentage and number, which we get from a lot of other people, right? So it's learning that, okay, when I do a bench press, you know, my max bench press is 315 pounds. So obviously my very first set, I'm not going to get under there and do 315 pounds. Like Sal was saying, I'm going to work up to that, but I'm going to choose a weight. And then you don't want to do too much volume, because you know MAPS Black Aesthetics already has a ton of volume. So maybe I'm going to put, you know, 145 or so on the bar, which is significantly less than my max. And I know I could do 20, 30 reps of that, but I'm going to do 10, and I'm going to do 10 super controlled. And like Justin said, I'm going to pause and squeeze the bar, and I'm really going to try and concentrate on my form and slowing the rep down. And you'll be surprised how effective that one set would be. And what's awesome about that, because you're not somebody who trains like that all the time, and you're not always doing these super slow tempo reps, it'll be a curveball for the body. It's a great thing for you to do for your first set when you're trying to find your way. And then after you do that first one, I'm sure you have a good idea, like, okay, that was really easy, so I could probably add a lot more weight, or that was a little easier than, you know, I could probably do 5 or 8 reps, so I'm gonna add some more weight. And that's how you would feel that out.
Comic Fitness, how important is it to perform isolation exercises? And the second part of that question is, only if it is a legging body part?
So the full question was, like, he does lots of compound movements. So obviously doing rows and pull-ups and stuff hits the biceps quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Should he do isolation exercises for them? Here's the thing. Compound movements will work those small muscles way better than isolation exercises will. That's a fact. If I can do a heavy pull-up or a heavy row, I'm going to get better bicep development than if I just did curls. However, if I want to add volume to working my biceps, I'm limited by those big gross motor movements, because they hammer the fuck out of my body. Like, I can't do 15 sets of heavy barbell rows. Yes, my biceps will get taxed, but the rest of my body's going to get destroyed too. So maybe I only do 5 sets of heavy barbell rows, but I want to add volume to my biceps, but I'm limited by my recovery ability. So then I do curls. Mm. Curls hits my biceps. I got that isolation movement, but I'm not hammering my body super hard all the time as on top of it. So isolation movements are excellent for adding volume, and this is how this should be used. Isolation movements are also very good at correcting.
Well, I was going to bring patterns. The corrective aspect to that, especially also like for improving form and function and gaining range of motion. Just like the supporting casts, like you use them in a specific. Like if I'm not supported in a certain movement, or I feel unstable in a major compound lift, you know, this is where I really want to address, you know, like synergists and, you know, really get into, you know, this supporting cast that's going to help contribute to my overall performance.
Well, all things being equal in this situation, well, let's say this person doesn't have any balances or issues like that going on, or they're not trying to develop the biceps because they're happy with the bicep size. You know, how I would write that person's program now versus how I would have wrote it 10 years ago is totally different. I may not even give you a bicep or a tricep exercise. If you feel very, if you like the way your arms look and you, and you're satisfied with it, we don't have any imbalances going on in your body, then absolutely, you know, T-bar rows and bent over rows and deadlifts are going to do more for those biceps than a bunch of isolation curls anyways. And if you're not trying to increase volume to increase size, I may not even train you on those whatsoever, which I wouldn't have done that in the past. In the past, I would have made sure that you hit every single body part, and that was my thing. Right. But now I would only do it if it was a lagging body part, just because there's so much bang for your buck doing the big compound movements. Mm-hmm. You know, if I really want to change your physique, you know, whatever it is we're trying to do, we're going to get the most change by doing those big gross motor movements than spending some time on some cable curls or preacher curls on a machine. So I would only do it if those were the situations, if it was a lagging body part or there was an imbalance with that person. So, which this is also why sometimes when people get maps read and they first start off and they're like, this is all the arm exercises I do. I only one set of this or two sets of that. Like, that's it. Like, they're expecting like this.
Well, they're not counting for the fact that their arms are being worked quite a bit with all this stuff. And look, the guy or girl who gets really good at pull-ups and, you know, overhead presses or bench press is going to get better developed biceps and triceps than someone who gets really good at curls and tricep press downs at the cable. Mm-hmm. That's just a fact.
Well, yeah, one carries over, the other one does not. You can have the biggest, strongest biceps in the world, and the likelihood of it helping you that much on pull-ups is slim to none. If you're a badass at pull-ups, you're probably got pretty strong fucking biceps. It's just how it works.
Look at gymnasts. You ever seen like competitive gymnasts, male gymnasts?
Right.
They don't do curls. They do a shit ton of pull-ups, though.
Oh, they have insane range of motion, too.
But they've got the craziest looking biceps you've ever seen are on male gymnasts. And it's all pull-ups. Just the way it is. Listen, if you like Mind Pump and you'd like a free t-shirt, here's what you do. You go to iTunes and you leave us a 5-star rating and review. If we like it, we're going to send you a free t-shirt. Also, check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. I'm at Mind Pump Sal. You can find Adam at Mind Pump Adam and Justin at Mind Pump Justin. And do not forget to check out mindpumpmedia.com. We got some cool stuff on there for you.
Go check us out.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.